2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, if the power went out right now this second, and then you realised it was gone out for good, how long do you think you would last? A day? A week? An hour? And before you panic and Google how to cook spaghetti without electricity, welcome to the weirdly wonderful world of preppers. People who've already thought a lot about this kind of thing. They've got the gear, they've got the plans, and in some cases, they've even got the bunkers. Our favourite scientist, Dr. Neve Shaw, has been looking at the whole world of preppers for us, and she's here with us now. Neve, it's so great to have you back on the show.
It's great. It's always great to be back. Always great.
I feel like, and we'll get into this, but I feel like this is a world that you would gladly be
a
part of.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
I get it.
Before we get there, let's talk about who or what are preppers. Yeah.
Well, you know, they've kind of come and gone, really, in my lifetime. When I was growing up in the 80s, everybody was preparing for like nuclear disaster. So that was the first time I came across preppers. So preppers are people that plan for any sort of apocalypse or emergency situations. And so it's kind of become more normal now. But I would say like maybe 10 years ago, they were definitely on the fringes of society.
Yeah.
But with COVID and with Storm Owen and all that, I think people know more now about how to prep. So it's like, what are you thinking about the future? Mm. Are you thinking about if something goes bad, are you ready for that? And that's what preppers are. And some of them get really deep into it.
Yeah.
And some of them are just like, you know, everyday average person. So there's a whole range of personalities in there.
They're not quite mainstream yet, but they are growing an awful lot.
Growing. Yeah. As I said, COVID was a big one because do you remember the whole thing about the toilet paper and the pasta and people just rushing to the
bread.
Do you remember? This is toilet paper. That was so weird. Just, and no matter what, I remember Leo Varadkar said, there's enough toilet paper, but people still were like clearing the shelves of toilet paper. It's just so crazy, isn't it? So you want to avoid that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and actually in some cultures, it's part of their culture is like to have a month's worth of food always in the house. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, with the current climate, some of the European countries are actually handing out pamphlets now to their different countries saying, you know, it's worth you having about 3 weeks of food ahead. So buy
your cans. This is coming from like the government?
It's coming from the different governments in Finland, in Poland, in Sweden. You know, like the head of NATO was kind of saying it as well, and the UK now. So it's just like nobody really knows what's coming down the line. So if there was, if God forbid, if anything happened and the power went out, like what would you do?
Mm.
You know, and some people, there was a piece I was reading about this, which was very interesting, which is about like the psychology of that. Like some people go, la, 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 la. Like they just don't want to know, like a cognitive dissonance. This isn't happening. And so they're afraid. So they don't want to do anything about it, but they know it's coming. And then there's other people that just sort of embrace it. They educate themselves, they share it, and they're just ahead of the pack. And I guess there's room for everybody in that. But yeah, what would you do? And what do you have in your house? Like, so there are some basics that we can go through that people could consider having, just in case. And it's actually more about, I find it's more about kind of relieving any worries that people have and anxieties around it. But then some people go cray cray on the other side.
So let's go to the cray cray first, and go to the desperate. But let's go to the kajillionaires, the millionaires, Mark Zuckerberg.
So this is the new thing now. The new thing. It's not a Rolex watch. No, it's not skiing in Aspen. No, it's actually having a bunker. And so Mark Zuckerberg, head of Meta, formerly Facebook, has taken that to the nth degree. In an island in Hawaii, he has set up a whole like city underground that's costing like $270 million. Its own power supply, its own water supply, rooms, a swimming pool, car parks, cinema.
What do you mean, like crazy town.
And like what? Yeah, and like all different types of rooms, gym, pool, like way off the mark. And then on top of that, like it's completely sealed. If there was a nuclear war or whatever, that it wouldn't impact you. But you're underground, you know.
And it feels very like District 13
very
or something.
District 13,
yeah, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
like
it
a little bit of Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yeah, all of that kind of thing. And the Last of Us or The Rest of Us? The Last of Us. Yeah, very much like The Last of Us as well, I think.
And then the rest of us will be gone.
The rest of us will be gone, yeah. You know, so it is kind of like, and so it also is, you know, that movie Don't Look Up, you know, at the end when the government are all, they get off and they go off in their spacecraft and they land on an island and they're okay. It's a little bit like that. It's like, oh, as long as we're okay, we'll be fine. And I kind of, that sort of doesn't really sit very well.
My whole thing of it though is like him building this mad bunker in Hawaii and, you know, he doesn't live there. So it's being built, it's not being built for if we have another COVID or if we have a storm. It sounds like it's being built for more apocalyptic times.
Complete.
How are you getting there? Those zombies coming at you. How are you getting past them?
Yeah, you can't even get up off, you can't get an airplane or anything. Peter Thiel as well, who's also one of those tech bros from Silicon Valley. He's also set up a mega bunker in New Zealand. I don't know how he's going to get there because he's done his research. And of course, New Zealand is the most remote place, the safest place, blah, blah, blah. And then for the, you know, the less wealthy billionaires, you can get underground condos for around 3 million, 1.5 million. And then for people like us slumming it, there's a place in South Dakota called Vivos, and they've got acres upon acres upon acres of bunkers that are about 2,000 square feet. And so to buy it empty, it's like $55,000. Then there's like a caravan park. You've got to pay €1,000 a year, maintenance fees are $1,000 a year. And then to get it kitted out, it'd be like $75,000. And so you have a kitchen area.
So this exists now.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
But I mean, I'm just wondering about that. So if you're paying $1,000 a year for the maintenance and you paid the $55,000 to have this little bunker, could you just go and visit it whenever you feel like it?
Yeah, some people actually live there. I've seen a few kind of documentaries and stuff on it. Some people have just moved there.
To be honest, it sounds cheaper than trying to buy a house right now.
Exactly, it is. Yeah, and they're just out there, but they're kind of extreme people. So you're off grid.
Yeah,
but off grid isn't relatively new. Like I've been looking into this as well, of course, because of, you know, going to on Mars simulated missions, it sort of spills over into your world when you go to extreme places. But in Arizona, there's a place called Taos, T-A-O-S, and this architect set up this whole community of off-grid living, where they use recyclable materials to create homes using mud and rubber tires, and they are completely self-sustaining. They're called Earth Ships, and there's even, you can get them here in Ireland. So you don't even, but that's about like just living sustainably. But if there was an apocalypse or something, you wouldn't be okay there. But if all the, say all the utilities went down, say electricity went down and water, you'd be fine in an earthship. So there's lots of degrees of this that you can think about.
You're referring obviously back to your own training when you did the Mars simulation training.
Yeah.
Which you said was
profoundly changed me.
Massively, because it was great at the time, but it got worse and worse as you were there for longer and longer.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have, you know, initially you're like, woohoo, this is great. And then you want to kill each other.
Yeah.
Because you're just in this tiny space, and every time you have to go outside, you have to wear this homemade spacesuit, and it's just, you know, it scratches, it itches, it's sore, it's uncomfortable. The water situation was pretty bleak. You know, we could only flush the toilet for number twos, not number ones. That'd be something that you probably have to do.
Yeah,
you know, and you get used to things very quickly. You get used to being dirty very quickly. You don't really mind the germs. You kind of get hardier. You don't smell things, thank God. You know, so I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I am interested in bunkers. Like, I would like to go and visit one of these and see what they're like.
Well, we're in a bunker right now. I think we'd be fine here, actually, event that happened to us. Yeah. I'm being honest. Let's talk about a bug out bag, right?
Yeah.
Something, let's bring it right back to the surface, right back to something that anybody listening right now could get involved in. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, but it could give you a bit of peace of mind for if the electricity went in the morning, like it did over in Portugal there a couple of weeks ago.
Right,
and it was gone for a couple of days.
Exactly, yeah. Or even if you happened to be on your holidays and a volcano erupted. Or, you know, exactly, if you were, you know, in Portugal. And like a friend of mine was there. It was so fun. He was telling
Carl
me.
Carl Mullen
was
there.
Who? Oh, really?
Yeah. Carl was mental. We had a vicious rumor that Carl caused it. But anyways. So what's in a bug out bag?
A bug out bag is basically, you know, what do you need to kind of just like, you know, get through the next few days? So obviously some sort of light, like a flashlight would be great. You can also get these wind up lights too. They don't even need batteries and solar powered things that you can power during the day and you have at night. Obviously a first aid kit is what everybody needs. You need water filters.
Yeah.
cash, always have cash. You know, for Storm Owen, I went to the machine, I got cash out, and water, you know, so it can be fill your bath up with water, or like what I did was I got one of those, you know, those kind of bins for storage,
yeah,
with the lids. I got one of those and we just filled it up with water. And of course, when it didn't happen for us, we just used that water for the next kind of 10 days. A radio is very important.
A radio is very important.
There you go, listening now. and if you can afford, like, you know, there's other things that you can get. Oh, your important documents, like have your passport printed out, have your driver's license printed out, have like all the important documents and deeds, like to your properties and things like that. Have all that so that you can take them with you. Have some basic clothes. I would definitely bring in, if you're going to pack to leave somewhere, definitely get a pair of boots, mm-hmm. a rain gear, a penknife, matches, and like one of those like thermal, you know, like those sort of they look like tinfoil, those kind of thermal blankets. And then, you know, you can go higher up then. Like people talk about your own generator, if you can afford it, that would be great. A freeze dryer. So we used to be, as a society, we used to be really good at canning and making jars of like pickled onions and all that kind of stuff. There was sense to that, and the sense of that was that you would have food long after that that fruit or that vegetable went out of season. And so that's also kind of a thing for preppers, is to can things and to put things in jars. Stock up on tins of stuff because they last much longer. I was reading there, Frank Deegan, he's an Irish survivalist, and he was saying if you got eggs, if you cover them in Vaseline, they last forever.
So this is just a nice hack for...
Isn't it a great hack? So there's things like that. Thankfully in Ireland, you know, when you read about preppers in the US, it's all about guns. You know, we don't need anything like that. But you can kind of go down a rabbit hole. You can get all sorts of gear, like waterproof gear is really good. Again, anything that you would need to go anywhere, like in an extreme place like what I've had, like thermal leggings, fleece lined trousers, you know, a good waterproof jacket, a headlight is a really good thing as well. So you can go crazy or you can go little. Like if it were to happen to me in the morning, I'm pretty well kitted out because of the stuff I had to bring to Antarctica. I don't obviously
just
have
casually,
yeah, just like a habit, you know, because I'm off to the Arctic in July, but we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, so you know, any of that stuff you kind of have, anyone who's gone camping, that stuff, like a wee camper with gas, pick up extra cans of propane.
Okay,
so just in case everything went to pot, whatever you'd need to go camping, and then just a little bit more off.
You'd be grand.
Toilet paper.
Yeah, let's not forget the toilet paper. Niamh, do you feel like this is becoming a little bit more mainstream?
Yes,
yeah,
I do. I definitely do think it's becoming more mainstream because I think we're getting more comfortable with the idea. So in the 80s, everybody was talking about nuclear fallouts and people were... Like, I can remember you were told in school, get under the desk, and you're going like, what's that going to do? You know, or get into the bath or go into a cupboard or whatever, you know. So we were all, like when I was growing up, we were all very aware of surviving if something went wrong.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of getting back into that mindset again. And I think COVID had a big impression on people. So when Storm Owen came, I don't think anybody really was fazed by it.
No.
Nobody really, like, did you stock up on water or what did you do?
No, but I'm the worst person to ask about this because I mean, I've said it time and time again, if something was to go to pot, I'd just walk into it. You know what I mean? If there was apocalypse, I'd be like, come on, let's just take me. I don't
really
want. Yeah, I just think I'd be like, oh, well, I think that. And then I also know I'm the most competitive person ever. So I'd be like, I'd outlive you. Like, let's see how we go. Do you think, though, that all of this prepping is a waste of time?
No, I don't. Because
do you think that, though, like even the extremities of it, like, do you think that there is too far?
There possibly is too far, but I think that there is a certain kind of person that wants to live like that.
Yeah.
And so one of the good things about it is it brings you back to nature. And it's like, this is what life would be like if you didn't have housing estates and a mobile phone and Tesco, you know what I mean? Or any other supermarket chain, you know. And so there's no harm in that. I don't think there's any harm. I always encourage people to go camping, do something where you're kind of put back and you realize, oh my gosh, you love it. You'll thrive in it, even though at the time you'll hate it, but you'll actually love it at the end. So there's always that. It's no harm not to be completely discombobulated when something like Storm Owen happens. And I think there's no harm to have a few extra tins in the cupboard, get a few candles, you know, worst case scenario, get a few candles, get a few extra bottles of water and a few extra tins of sardines. Do you know what I mean? Put a few extra sliced pans in the freezer. That'll kind of do you.
Yeah. And you don't need to put Vaseline on your eggs. Okay.
And you don't need to put Vaseline on your eggs. And the rule of thumb is you can survive for 3 minutes without oxygen, for 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. So water. Sure you're somewhere, wherever you are, you can breathe.
And hopefully you'll be stocked up on enough food as well. Niamh, you've got an event in UCD this weekend. Yes, do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, well, it's UCD Family Festival. So every year UCD opens its doors to the general public. And of course, I've been given the task of organising and managing the space part of the programme. So
amazing.
There's loads of space talks. There's guys coming from the European Space Agency, and he'll also be joining us on stage for Baking in Space.
Baking
which is on at half
space.
12. It's free. Yes, and it's on in the O'Reilly Hall. So we have a baker, a finalist from the Great British Bake Off, Andrew Smith, who also happens to be an aerospace engineer, which is crazy. And he loves using baking to explain the way materials have to be light in space. Okay. So he'll be doing some live baking on stage, and we get all the audience get free samples. And then we kind of have, it's like a kind of a Saturday magazine kind of cookery show.
Okay.
And then around the table then we have Aidan joining us from the Astronaut Centre. And Aidan is from Dublin, and Aidan has spent the last 10 years recreating the moon at the European Space Agency. He found the perfect texture and composition of a type of soil, I guess. We call it regolith, which is the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
And he offloaded a load of it into this open space, which now has become the surface of the moon for astronauts to train in.
Is this for all ages?
It's for all ages. Yeah. All ages. Please come along at 12:30, and we'll be talking about, I'll be bringing some space food that actually genuinely flew on the International Space Station. We'll be talking about living in space and living in the absence of gravity and what you can eat, and then also all the preparations to return to the moon and what the European Space Agency is doing that. And Aidan then is also giving a talk himself, which is completely overbooked at this stage. But sure, you can come along. We'll squeeze you in.
Amazing. Okay, so that's kicking off from 12:30 with your baking in space. In UCD. Yep. Dr. Niamh Shaw, as always, thank you so much for coming on.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.